Good afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It is Wednesday, August 28th, 2024, and you are listening live to G&D. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We got tickets if you want to go see Kevin Hart when he is in town at DAR Constitution Hall. You better be listening to this show at 4 o'clock. What's up, Danny?
What a stupid day today is. It's stupid. I'm in a salty mood. I came in here ruining everybody's time. I'm going to get over it because I'm a pro, but it's dumb. It's all hot and stupid. I'm in a cranky mood, but I'll get over it. We got a job to do. That's what being a grown-up is. You put your crankiness aside and you do what you're supposed to. I got a case of the sposedas.
If you guys want to be in Danny Ruye's fantasy football league so that you can hear more of that joy.
More whatever that is.
More excitement.
We're giving it away.
About life. No, the Grant and Danny Listener League for fantasy football is open and available. Go check my last tweet at Grant H. Paulson. I believe Danny's got a tweet up at Funny Danny.
Indeed.
If you go check his account as well, you could take a little quiz. The top 10 or so respondents as far as scoring on that quiz are going to get into our Listener League. We're going to have a live draft on Tuesday night at Highline Rooftop and Restaurant over in the Crystal City area.
Which love that spot.
Very excited about. So get into the league right now by testing your skills, winning your way in with your knowledge of the Grant and Danny radio program. It's one of my favorite things we do every year, honestly. It's just a cool opportunity.
It's just
we
fun.
Get together, we eat wings, we have some drinks, we hang out with listeners for a couple hours, and we draft a fantasy football team. And I believe Darius this year has taken it upon himself, he told us. He is going to be getting us the stickers to basically do the in-person 1999 fantasy football draft, where you walk up and you put the name on the board so everyone can laugh at you and make fun
of
you.
It's the best.
So we're not sitting there drafting on a computer. So it's going to take a little longer maybe, but we'll still get through this thing in a couple hours.
So a couple notes. That's way more fun, to be honest with you. It's like the auction is still the most fun thing possible, but that's kind of like a 1A for me.
When's the last time you've done a fantasy football draft with the stickers and the big board?
It's been a handful of years.
I think Scherzer Showdown is the only time I can remember.
That's the last time you did it.
Doing it. We used to MC Max Scherzer's fantasy football event in DC every year, which, by the way, don't sleep on how cool that was.
It was great.
It was a great event. Max crushed it, and somebody, if you're listening, with the Nationals or the other teams that aren't football in town, should take this idea from Scherzer. But basically, you bring 10 or 12 players from your team, then people pay a bunch of money for charity to take part in the leagues, and then each league gets a player in the league. And players enjoy being in fantasy
sports.
Yeah,
they like it. So like you're
Strasburg and Rendon and Bryce and all these guys would be sitting there at a table drafting with 11 people. Yeah. And you and I were basically the commissioners, like putting the stickers on the board.
Yeah, like back in the day, someone's like, hey, Tanner, Tanner Roark, do you want to trade? You know, like, I don't remember the quarterbacks of the era, but you know what I mean? You want to trade me Tom Brady for, you know, the bag of donuts? And Tanner Roark's like, no, thank you. Like, that was the best. That was so much fun. But my second note is I performed at the Highline a couple times. Don't stand up there. Really strong menu. The wings are excellent, multiple flavors, and it's a good burger situation. It is perfect for the old G&D Fantasy Listener League.
This
perfect.
Pleases me. I don't think I'll do a burger during the fantasy draft. I'm not going to rule it out completely. I normally like small finger foods and lots of them. So I could see like a wings. I don't know if they've got a potato skin or a mozzarella stick, but I'm thinking like two or three appetizers over a couple hours rather than the hearty meal that's going to fill me up. I find, Danny, did I draft my best when my hunger is still existent, yet not overpowering?
Okay.
I don't want to be full. I want to be wanting more, but it's okay if I don't eat anything else.
That's interesting.
That's the happy medium for me to find the right player in the perfect round.
I need to be so stuffed. I need to not be able to move. I want to not be able to really communicate with people. And when folks come up to me and ask me questions, I want to be like, yeah, but I have a pretzel here. So the bites are really good. So there's nachos that are excellent, which you won't bother with. But they have a jumbo Bavarian pretzel, which is an excellent dipping situation. That's really good. They got the wings, chicken tendies, the whole nine yards. So we can do a Sam Howell in memoriam. We'll just get a chicken tenders that nobody eats or something like that. Just to set an empty seat for the guy, you know?
Somebody asked me, what's Jaden Daniels' favorite food? You guys did Tendies Tuesdays for Sam Howell last year.
We did it so many times.
I had to correct them. Yeah. We didn't really do it. We came up with the idea to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was he has to throw for 275 yards in a win. That happened once.
Yeah.
Last football season.
It was delicious. We had a lot of chicken tenders.
We did. I think it was week. It was the Denver game.
I think it was week two or something.
Yeah. And we're like, we're going to be doing this all year. This is the best. And we never got to do it again. So the new noise in fantasy football, by the way, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have been a part of this in some way. Initially, just playing the fantasy football was the fun. You got together with your boys, you had a draft, whatever. Then you got in a fantasy league, you won the league, you lost the league, didn't really matter. The second branch of fantasy football greatness was the punishment for the loser, right? The loser punishment became the thing that the whole league was known for a little while. That's very yesterday, though. That is like so 5 years ago, Danny. You know what the new noise is?
Hmm.
It's the fun way to determine your draft order. That's what everybody's doing now. Our buddy Mitch Tischler of Monumental, who does the pod with JP, just tweeted me. The Phillies deciding their draft order the other day in the cage. They had a competition where they set up, basically laid down some carpet to take out their, you know, brought the golf clubs, take out their irons, and I'm assuming they had a target somewhere in the outfield and closest to the pin, basically. Got
so good
to pick in that order. But I also saw, I don't remember what team it was, so I apologize for this, but there was a team that had basically targets, and they were taking BP swinging like baseball players, like they are, trying to get as close as they could to the target to determine where they picked. Now, we could do it in just a randomized, unfun way, but I actually think we should find a way to come up with some type of order. We don't need anybody pulling hamstrings in the parking lot, trying to run 40s or something crazy. But when we get the number of people that we're going to have 14 people in the league, we're all in the thing, the returning champion, and then everybody else that wins their way in with the quiz, we actually should, there's got to be a way when we're all together at the restaurant before we sit down to determine a draft order that's kind of entertaining.
So I don't know why, but the first thing I thought of is, remember from The Last Dance, the game that Jordan and that like security guard guy would play for like hundreds of dollars?
Right.
We'd throw the quarters, get as close to the wall as you can. Like, all of us doing that somehow, but that's too many people. It's 14 dudes, right?
I don't hate that. We could, it could be something that simple, though, where we're going to be in an area of the restaurant, they're going to, you know, block us off somewhere. Maybe we do our version of bocce ball, where you have to roll a quarter and you get closest to, you know, a piece of straw paper or whatever we threw down on the ground.
Uh-huh.
We could do it that way. I was thinking like a chugging contest of some type. Now, it doesn't have to be alcohol, because I know you and others maybe aren't drinking.
Might abstain, yeah.
But like, you know, each person's in a challenge and then the winner's bracket moves on or something, where it's like, well, you could do water, or we could do like diet soda or something. I don't know.
But it's like an old school like beer Olympics game of flip cup,
exactly,
or something like that. Yeah, who knows?
Or each person has to eat a buffalo wing and you have to show the bone and then we, you know, hit stop. And in the order that you finished it is the order that we draft in. I think that could be kind of fun.
That's a good one too.
There's got to be something.
There's got to be something.
Rather than just randomly assigning names on a board in order. But I think that's the new noise in fantasy sports. Really, let's be honest, it's just an excuse for grown-up dudes to get together and be bros.
And do something stupid.
That's all it is.
It's the best. It is the best. It's one of the last, I don't even know what how to say it the right way, but it's like the sophomoric behavior is not only allowed, but it's encouraged. And it's like the whole point. It's like just some steam blowing off, harmless, good old-fashioned fun. I'm in.
If you guys have any ideas, again, we'll all be in public at a restaurant. There might be a parking lot at our disposal, but I don't want any sprinting and pulled hamstrings because I don't know what kind of shape our crew's in. I know what kind of shape I'm in, and I'm not in shape for that, I can tell you right now. But you can send them our way at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Again, if you want to participate in the league, there's still time for you to get in. You got to go take the quiz and win your way in. The quiz is available on our Twitter accounts at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, or on our Facebook page as a show, facebook.com/Grant and Danny. The Commanders didn't claim anybody today. I don't understand that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not upset. I think that Adam Peters and Lance Newmark in the front office know what they're doing, generally. I don't know that there was anybody available that would have changed the win count this year or would have made them a decidedly better team. Here's what I do know, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is irrefutable. The Panthers had the number one option on the waiver wire. They've claimed six players already. Six. The Commanders had the second spot on the waiver wire. They put in zero claims. They didn't try to add one player who got cut yesterday. The team after them, the New England Patriots, successfully claimed four players. Now, it's possible that they put in more claims than that, but they got four players. So the Panthers and the Patriots, who sandwich Washington on average, both got five players. They combined for 10 new players to their 53-man rosters. And yet the Commanders, smack dab in the middle of the two, second in the waiver wire, despite all of the discussion about wide receiver, offensive tackle, corner, don't worry, they can still add a player here or there. Zero claims. I'm very surprised by that. What about you?
Incredibly so. I don't see it. I don't get it. I know that they're smart. I know Adam Peters is smart. I know Lance Newmark is smart. I know their whole front office has an idea. I also know, given past precedent, when they see an issue, they act on it. Right? When they go, this is unacceptable. We are not going to let this stand for another second. Even if it doesn't help us long term, we're going to get Bobby Wagner. We're going to go get Austin Eckler for a couple of years. We're going to go get a one-year guy. We're going to go get some of the guys that I'm familiar with from Dallas or whatever to increase the talent level. We are turning this roster over. 33 of the 53 guys were free agent, trade, or draft pick, turning 60-plus percent of the roster over from last year, rightfully so, for a bad team. So when they see a problem, they fix it. My only conclusion is that they don't see a problem, that they don't see a weakness. Or if they do, they don't care about it. They're not concerned with an unproven situation at left tackle for a rookie quarterback. They're not concerned with zero pelts on the wall outside of Terry McLaurin in the receiver room, where you combine all of their stats over the previous couple of years, you get a season from a mediocre number two wide receiver on a mediocre offense. You combine everybody's numbers. They don't see a problem. They don't see a problem at corner. That one I don't say I'm less concerned about, but I would say with the track record of the coaching staff, getting more out of guys that maybe are unheralded, totally, I get that's maybe a possibility. They like that group maybe more than some might. Say, hey, we got some potential in here. We'll coach them up and get that done. Fine. And I'm also less concerned, frankly, about that for a team that's in a rebuild than I am things that directly affect their rookie quarterback. They don't see an issue, and I don't see the plan here. I don't quite get it.
I don't know that they don't see an issue. I'm not going to say that. They didn't see a fix, obviously, and they chose not to try to address any issues. Now, I saw Nikki Javala, who does a great job covering the team for the Washington Post, point out something to the effect of, hey, they didn't make any claims, but it doesn't mean they're not going to act in free agency. They can still sign players. And that is true, except what I push back on there is the waiver order should have theoretically been way more beneficial to them than free agency. In free agency, you're competing with 31 other teams to sign a guy. In the waiver order, there's only one team that can keep you from any player. Now, obviously, not every player is available on waivers right now. If they hadn't been at a camp, if they hadn't recently been waived or released. And there are a couple of guys like Noah Brown of the Houston Texans who I still think would be an outstanding fit. And maybe Noah Brown's the guy they really want, and they knew they didn't have to worry about it on the waiver wire. He was going to be available after the fact, and they're working on a deal with him right now. And I would feel good about that, because at least now you're not sitting this period out. But considering that 22 hours have gone by since they formed their initial roster, and they have the same 53 players, at least that we know of publicly right now, that they did 22 hours ago, A, I'm stunned, and B, I'm a little disappointed. Because one of the caveats to their roster, when it came down yesterday, that we gave, and that every person around this football team that's covered them was providing, is this probably isn't a finished product. And it isn't. I mean, they're going to make a dozen changes on the back of the roster between now and week three or whatever. And certainly week one, that it's going to look different. I just would have guessed that when that list of players that got claimed today came out, where the Panthers claimed six guys and New England claimed four guys and two tackles, like, those teams have very obvious needs where they're not very good. They threw some waiver claims at those problems. Probably not going to fix them with dudes that just got cut. I understand that. I'm not acting like it's a catch-me-all, fix-all situation. I just like the idea of the effort. It's like the room is messy. I leave, I come back. Are you still sitting there with mess all around you? Or is the room a little bit cleaner and you're sweating because you're scrubbing the floor? At least I see that you're working on it. The Patriots are on their hands and knees on the waiver wire, scratching at something on the ground, right? The Panthers have a duster out and they're rubbing it over top of the vent to make sure that some of that dust comes down. I feel like I've got my legs up and I'm eating Cheez-Its with my shirt off and crumbs in my chest hair, just looking at the TV. Where's my effort on waiver wire day? I mean, you get one of these, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beauty. How many times did we talk about they're second in the waiver order? They're second in the waiver order. You know when that doesn't matter? When you're not claiming.
You don't make any claims. Yeah, I'm looking for a different way to express it, and I can't find one. I just, what frustrates me over the last several years, pre-adults in charge, and there are adults in charge now, and I'm grateful for that. But when there weren't adults in charge, when it was overmatched boobs and their buddies from a place that was, they weren't that, really that successful, when I didn't see the vision, that meant disaster. When I go, I don't see the plan here. I don't see why this is a good course of action. Whether or not I agreed with something or not, if I can see where you're going, I go, okay, whether I like that or not, I could see it, right? I can hear the case for it. I'm having a hard time with this. And again, it's the push and pull is as follows. These are smart folks. I know they are. I know they've got a plan. I just can't see that plan, and that frustrates me. There is some deference. There is some reverence for this group to allow them to do what they want to do and shape the team in their vision. And they haven't played a game yet, so I can't call anything a failure.
I'm willing to give them a natural benefit of the doubt. Now, I don't do the thing that a lot of people do, the Enron we trust, they're professionals, though. So I'll just sit back because what do I know, though? I'm a critical thinker. I don't apologize for that. You know, people every now and then will say, well, why do we question them? They're the pros. Watch Giants Hard Knocks offseason. A lot of these folks are just guessing like the rest of us, man. I mean, Brian Daboll's hiring a D coordinator, and when he's asked why by his GM he wants this guy, he's citing his rushing yards per game stats from the previous season. You know, he doesn't like have it all figured out either, right? Is he Danny Ruye and me, or is he Brian Daboll of the New York Giants? But I'm not sitting here saying Peters and Newmark and those guys aren't way smarter. They are.
They are.
I, unlike Rivera and the Martys, who I didn't think had proven themselves capable in the jobs they were given, and in fact thought in the cases where they had done those jobs previously, they proved themselves largely incapable, I was not giving them the benefit of the doubt. This group, I think in Peter's case, in Newmark's case, a lot of the front office guys, the people that I trust around the league tell me they're very, very smart, they're very, very good, and so I am much more willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Not blank checks, you know, not just unchecked, I'm not going to question anything, you know, unilateral kind of support. But absolutely, I give them the benefit of the doubt. But today's one of those days where I go, the team with the worst record last year made a bunch of claims. The team with the third worst record last year made a bunch of claims. The team with the second worst record, no claims. It's almost like you don't think any of those guys that just got cut yesterday can help you.
Nobody can help you? You're sure no one? That not one person might improve something slightly in your room? Again, I think you said it very well. Not one of these dudes that's a waiver claim today, in all likelihood. You never know. That great story could happen. But not any of these guys that are claimed today are going to be the difference maker, right? I was talking to someone earlier. Like, I know everyone's got their pantaloons in a bunch about KJ Henry not making the team, and this is such a colossal mistake. And I don't do that. The 51st guy on the roster is not going to make or break you. But when there's a dire need that I'm going, oh, there's a fire, bring the water. And they're going, no, we don't need it. The fire will take care of itself. I go, that's a lot of confidence. I notice that confidence. I'm going to be watching.
That's Cincinnati Bengal, KJ Henry to you, by the way.
There it is, yeah.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Why do you guys think that Peters and company were not more aggressive over the last 24 hours on the waiver wire? You think they're confident in the roster? You think something else is afoot? 800-636-1067 is the number you want to join us. 800-636-1067. Also, one of the players Washington cut yesterday that everybody thought was coming back on the practice squad apparently is not. The team will not be, but continuing forward with one of their preseason stars. We'll explain next on The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for making the show part of your day. Top three teams in the waiver priority based on how they finished last season, how bad they were going into the offseason. Panthers, Commanders, Patriots. Panthers claimed six players, got them all. They had the number one pick in the waiver wire. That's how it works. Washington didn't claim anyone, and then right after them, New England claimed four that they got. They might have even claimed more than that. But one of those is not like the other. The question we're asking is, why do you think the Commanders decided not to? I think they liked their roster, for starters. They kept a lot of guys that mostly they brought in. Remember, they also signed way more players in free agency than Carolina, certainly, and then New England did as well. I think at a couple of positions, specifically like safety and maybe the D-line at D-tackle, I think they're really deep, you know, to the point where they're trying to trade a guy or two.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the other part of this. It does seem to me like it's possible that Peter's priority right now, they've got the guys that they like. They kept the most talent. They'll rearrange the roster as need be, you know, cut a guy off the safety pile if they have to in a few days and bring someone else in if they need another offensive lineman, let's say, whatever. But I think right now he's actually just trying to swing a deal or two with a couple of those players for draft
picks. Yeah.
Now, you should be able to do both. Like, you could assign Lance Newmark to be your waiver wire guy. If you're Adam Peters, you just burn the midnight oil. You could get it all done. And I'm quite sure, I mean, he's a grinder. This guy's a worker. Like, he's in his office constantly. He could do both. But I do think that his priority, if I had to guess, is what am I doing with Ridgeway and Mathis, and can I get a deal for one of those guys? Like, am I able to make a trade and figure out a player that I like on someone else's roster that might be a better player than someone that just got cut, which is telling as well. But if you're asking me, am I surprised? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not only did I think they definitely would claim someone, I thought they should claim a few guys. I would have bet that they claimed a offensive tackle and a wide receiver and maybe even a corner. Just those three spots, just throw more competition onto the pile going into game week. Not even close. I was way wrong.
Same here. Yeah, I think the answer that the only conclusion I can come to is they're very confident in what they've assembled. Because again, what I keep pointing to is when they think there's an issue, oh, there's swift action. There is a massive turnover and change. Look at, you mentioned the safety position. How different is that room than it was a year ago at this point? Look at the linebacker position. How different is that than it was a year ago? I said, this will not stand. We're not doing that. We are changing that position over 100%. Same with the defensive end spot, really, when it comes to it, right? I know that you moved on from, it wasn't these guys, but they moved on from Sweat and Chase Young. But here are some incumbents. Let's do that. Nope, all new. It's Farrell. It's Armstrong. It's Jean-Baptiste. It's Fowler. It's, you know, Jamin Davis, presumably a position switch. Nobody that was in that defensive end room last year is there repeating itself, pretty much, right? It's all brand new. When they see something that they want to fix, they fix it. It tells me they don't want to fix this. Either they don't think it's broken, they like what they got, or they're not really concerned about the some of the same things that I happen to be. And again, I'm outside. I'm just a putz. These guys know what the hell they're doing, and they've got a plan. But I don't. This one's hard for me to see. I don't quite understand the idea. Again, this is it. You're not going to go sign another Terry McLaurin. Nobody's cutting a frontline superstar just because at this point you got the waiver claim priority to go get him. My point is, for a team coming off a 4-13 season, we've already turned over more than 60% of the roster. There's not a single player out there that might upgrade your talent level at some point, might provide some security or some depth at one of these vulnerable positions where you've got, at best, to be kind, unproven players that haven't accomplished a whole lot in this league. When you're talking about a rookie quarterback and supporting him, just very surprising to me that they don't feel like there's anybody outside of there. That to me says supreme confidence in what they've assembled.
There was only three tackles claimed and one wide receiver claim. So it's also a situation of, like, who are you upset that they didn't get? Because if you're upset that they didn't claim anyone, just as an example, well, who's the guy that got away that they should have grabbed? I mean, you're not able to, and I don't mean you specifically.
One is like, not. Yeah.
No one's not able to tell me there's a receiver that was available that isn't now that they should have claimed. And if you can do that at most positions, right, I think that actually is a endorsement to them not having claimed anyone. I just point to the other teams and what they did that were in the same tier as you, the same bucket as you, that were also really bad. And most of them were not only claiming a player, but several players. And you just said, we'll figure it out another day. Let's go to the phones. Teon is in D.C. on Grant and Danny on the Fan. What's up? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Doing well.
Good. I'm kind of happy that they didn't claim anybody off of waivers. And the reason I'm happy is because that means that, they, like you said, they have confidence in what they have there. This is a rebuild, and they're teaching the guys they brought in, not to say that there won't be moves later on,
mm-hmm.
but they're giving them time to grow. And you say you brought in all these teachers to teach, and you're going to put your guys in the best position of who they are. So if you say all that, and then at the end of the day, you go on this, you know, radical waiver pickup just for the sake of picking up, that's something that the Snyder era used to do. That's not something the Harris era is doing so far. And I like that.
So I appreciate the phone call. I've seen a couple of people chirping us, whether they're tweeting us or in the YouTube chat. Everyone's more than welcome to do so. And saying kind of what he just said, maybe more accusatory. You guys just want him to claim someone to claim someone. No, I don't. I don't care about the procedural element of claiming somebody. My point is, I see major weaknesses on the roster. And one to me that I'm really, or a couple of me that I'm really concerned about because it affects the rookie quarterback. I would say, let's do something there. Let's try to improve that group, right? And if there's nobody out there to improve the group, so be it. Maybe that work should have been done in the offseason or before now. But let's get active. Let's try to I don't care about the procedural element of just putting in a waiver claim just to do it because the team after you did, or the Saints did, or the Dolphins did. I don't care about that part of it. I go, there's a weakness, and they're going, there's not a weakness. That's what I care about.
Appreciate the phone call. For me, I do think there is an argument, and he just made it, I thought, pretty well, that this group just went through camp in the preseason educating every player in the building on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't necessarily think that should be the end-all, be-all, the commander way is going to be a whole lot different than how other teams do it. Like, I'm okay with someone coming in here who did it the San Francisco 49er way, where they win. Or the Green Bay Packer way, where they win. Or the Pittsburgh Steeler way, where they never lose.
Yeah, the Ravens win's pretty good. We wouldn't do that.
I like those ways, too. But my point is, I also think this could be an acknowledgement, again, like the evidence, if we're believing the actions, less the words, but really, truly the actions and what they're doing is telling the story, not what they're saying. We're not rebuilding. We're recalibrating. I don't do rebuilds, all that stuff. I think this is another example of them showing that they're in no rush. There is some patience here. I'm okay with Javonte Jean-Baptiste, my seventh-round pick, developing in my program at the pace that he's going to as a rookie. I don't need to go claim some dude who had 3.5 sacks last year on the waiver wire or at offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas, Trent Scott doing it the way we've been coaching them up to do over the last 2 months, rather than going another and grabbing another version of Trent Scott, who was just the same guy who was in another building, because people will feel a little better that we claim to tackle and they can, you know, put their head on their pillow and feel like we're just working to fix the problem. But I think there have been plenty of times, really since their very active free agency, where if they were desperate to win one more game or get to, you know, 9 wins or try to win a wild card or something, you probably make other moves. Mm-hmm. You go trade for Brandon Ayuk. You do a lot of things they don't do, including probably don't trade Jahan Dotson, who can help you this year, for draft picks.
Right. Future draft picks, yeah.
That's what a team that is thinking about the future does. And so I think this is another example of that, where it's pretty clear, and Josh Harris just spoke to the media on Sunday at the X, and he said, well, they need to have a better record than last year to feel like they're making good progress. It was a terrible year, 4 wins last year. He thinks they will. It's the long game for him. He's mm-hmm. thinking about the big picture down the road. And this feels like that when you don't claim anyone, to just try to improve the edges of your roster a tad to be a little bit better. Let's go to Joe in Reston. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I think in short, yeah, I think that the no moves just means, like, how much better are one of these players going to make our team? Like, are it's not going to equate to wins, but I think if I just reiterate what Grant just said, I really feel like I just keep asking myself, like, what is the goal of the front office? Like, what do they want to get out of the season? And if it's to, you know, win a couple more games, or, you know, it, just show what Jaden can do, but still stay in that range for next year to where we can draft some potential players. Because, I mean, the turnover has been crazy. And next year, a lot of the guys they sign might not even be on the team as it is. So I just think they're just looking forward to the future. And this year is what it is. I really don't feel like this team's going to be a good football team. But if they show, you know, that a little bit of improvement, then, you know, that's a success in my eyes.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking there. And again, I'm all – I don't – don't know if anybody's more long-term than I am. I've always been desperate for people to think that way. I was born and bred in Bane's prison of the Washington Wizards trading away first-round picks to try to win one or two more games to stay at that 41-win range. I've done that. I've been there. Building that way is stupid. But this is one of the oldest rosters in the league. Right, the guys at the receiver spot are 27, 28. Jamison Crowder is up there. Byron Pringle's up there. I know they got some young kids in McCaffrey and whatever. It's not like McLaurin's 22. You look at the tackle spot. They got a young player in Coleman, but they're playing a lot of veterans too. You know what I mean? At spots. And this is as just as much about implementing a culture and a way of doing things so that that machine can continue. But it's not as if there are no young players around via waiver wire or free agency or otherwise that they could go snatch up right now this minute.
And to that point, while they made two dozen free agent additions this offseason, the vast majority of them are 1 or 2 year deals of veterans
mm-hmm.
that are just tide raisers, as I call them.
Right.
You know, guys, as you said, that are going to help set the culture, not really long-term solutions. So that was where I think there's been a little bit of some confusion on what the plan in this first year was, maybe. But pretty clearly, again, they're in no rush, nor do they need to be.
Right.
I just want them to do what they can to help Jaden Daniels to thrive.
That's my thought.
The Steelers have finally named a starting quarterback, Danny. Who'd Mike Tomlin give the reins to? Russ Wilson or Justin Fields? We'll get into that next. Plus, Dylan Cruz was spraying the ball to all fields in his first major league multi-hit game last night. We'll get to the young Nat Stars breakout evening over at Nationals Park on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are live on 106.7 all over the DMV, and we are also streaming on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page if you want to watch us in high definition there. Mike Tomlin today made it official for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not sure how well-kept this secret was, but Russell Wilson, who they gave every opportunity to win the starting job throughout camp in the preseason, Wilson will be their starter. Justin Fields will back him up. This was always likely. It does not change how I feel, though, Danny. I think Fields still ends up starting more games than Russell Wilson this year because I don't think the Steelers are going to be that good. They're going to try to keep Tomlin's streak alive without having a losing season as the head coach. But inevitably, I think they turn it over to Fields, and because neither of them is a great quarterback, maybe they just have him run around and try to be the hardest offense to defend possible, and that might be with his legs making defenses go 11-on-11.
Yeah, you added Arthur Smith to that equation, finally updating their offensive coordinator position somewhat from a guy that got some pretty good results, frankly, out of folks in Tennessee over the years. And you've got some bones that are pretty decent, right? Now, I know Jalen Warren's a bit banged up, but Najee Harris, I mentioned Warren, is a good scat back out of the backfield. George Pickens, who's got some talent. So it's not like the cupboard's completely bare. To me, they're best served, as you said, a bit more read option, playmaking, kind of a poor man's Baltimore, doing it that way with a dynamic quarterback in Justin Fields, than you would be with whatever Russell Wilson has left. He's one of the guys I was all-time dead wrong about in terms of Wilson. I go, it's a bad situation in Seattle. He needs to change his scenery. He needs a time machine and that also to have a positive effect on his body. He can't be Russell Wilson going back in time now. He needs to somehow jump back into younger Russell Wilson because that guy's not walking through the door.
Well, the Steelers are probably built to be offensively like an 8 or 9 win team. Their defense is actually
really good
enough that they could be a playoff team. It's kind of the same situation they're in most years. They've got a defensive player of the year, nominee year in and year out, and TJ Watt on their defensive line. Cam Hayward, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, still plays at a Pro Bowl level. They got some other guys on that side of the ball, like Minka Fitzpatrick, like Joey Porter Jr., who are going to be really good for a long time. My problem with Pittsburgh, though, is the weaponry. Everybody acts like George Pickens is a number one. And let's say I'm wrong and he actually is that, and that's what he becomes. They got nobody else at wide receiver. Deontay Johnson's in Carolina. They traded him. Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin are their starting wide receivers at the beginning of the year. with George Pickens. Now, at tight end, Pat Freiermuth is fine. They drafted Darnell Washington, who's proven to be more of a blocker than a receiver so far in the third round, who's a huge guy. I just don't see good weapons. And if you add that to a bad quarterback situation, you get a really bad offense.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way around that. With all due respect to Arthur Smith, I mean, you are trying to make filet mignon at a hamburger helper, and that is not easy to do. But I think naming Wilson the starter was just inevitable. They'll eventually play Fields as well, and it's going to be probably a step backwards for them this year. The thing, even more of a problem than their personnel, though, is the division.
Yeah. Buzzsaw. Baltimore, best division
awesome.
Of the sport.
Cincinnati, really good. Cleveland, very solid. Three teams, all could be in the playoffs. Heck, all could make runs to the conference championship game, and I don't think it would really surprise anybody that much. So that's the issue for Pittsburgh. No issues last night at Nats Park, Danny, for game two of Dylan Cruz. A lot of people showed
up. That was fun, wasn't it?
For his debut, he went 0-for-3, drew a walk, didn't really flash nearly as much. Last night, made a great running catch in right field up against the barrier in foul territory. Also had his first two hits and his first ever stolen base all in one game. An impact performance for the Nationals, showing off the tools, and almost homer deep to left center field last night in his first at-bat ever off Gerrit Cole.
Now the send in a long hold. Clock down to 2-1. The pitch swung on. Hit deep to left field. Verdugo going back. It's over his head and off the base of the wall in play. Heading for third is Tina. He'll hold there. And into second is Dylan Cruz with a double and his first hit in the major leagues.
Baseball, man. It's unbelievable. Quick nod to Patrick Corbin, who was unbelievable last night. Because, of course, he was against the Yankees.
Probably his best start since 2019. Six innings, two hits, completely had the Yankees off balance. He made Juan Soto look bad. At one point, he had Aaron Judge looking like a fool. I couldn't believe my eyes last night.
I watched, too, and I just kept going, okay, there's a misprint, something weird's going on. But to Cruz specifically, the whole thing that you want as a fan, and that's all I am when I'm at home watching games, the same way I'm watching Jaden Daniels in the preseason, or the same way I think back to when John Wall got drafted or whatever, all you want to see in these early season or meaningless game kind of environments is, I just want to see the thing. Whatever the thing that this person's claim to fame is, why the scouts were excited, why the GM was excited, why this was the pick. And you got to see that in the preseason with Daniels when he checks to the one throw and puts it, in the one spot that Downey Brown could catch it down the sideline. You saw it last night with Dylan Cruz. All of the tools on display. Line drive tracer to left field, check. Making a difficult play in the outfield look relatively easy. That not only the running catch you mentioned, but going back on a ball, swiveling his hips, dealing with the side spin, the slice, catches it like it was the most routine thing in the world. Getting a terrible jump at second and that crazy, excellent grown-up slide to avoid the tag after his little squibber where he makes it a tough play and beats it out. All of the tools for Dylan Cruz were on display last night. You saw the thing? That's what's so much fun.
I was going to say, I think you're already kind of seeing whereas I say about Dylan Cruz, I don't know what he does that's elite. I think everything's very solid.
It's all just good. Yeah.
You've seen him make a throw from the outfield at 94 plus miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen him make a really nice running catch against the barrier and right. You've seen him hit a ball off the base of the wall against Gerrit Cole. You've seen him steal a base. He could just help you in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why you go second in a draft. When you're a winning player like that, it's why you are a College World Series champion, a team captain of the best club in America just about 14 months ago when he was in school. But that's what everybody wanted to see. Hopefully you were in the ballpark last night for game number two. Our coverage of Baseball on the Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Mike Clay has some statistical projections for the Commanders and also has tallied up how many games the win probability calculator he uses has them winning. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny.